Well, hello, this is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church. And of course, we're responding to the coronavirus by making our services available online. You can visit us at www.crossroadbc.com. There you'll be able to find a number of our services that have been pre-recorded, as well as some of our manuscripts that we publish so that you might learn more about the Word of God. It's all about God's Word. It's not about buildings. It's not about other things that we have. It's all about God. So here's the question I want to pose to you today. What happens when the church is under pressure? How do we respond to that? And the good news is we have some encouragement from the Word of God. And the Bible says, and Paul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, this passage is taken from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and verse 4. The church was under pressure. It's the same type of thing that we're under pressure today. Now, this pressure can come in many forms. It can come at many times. And so we want to ask that question today. How do we respond when we are under pressure? Our nation is facing this impact of the coronavirus, and there are many people responding in a number of ways because they're under pressure. Some are responding in fear. Some are preparing for it. Some are doing things that are a little bit out of the norm because they feel that they're under pressure. And yet we find that pressure has a way of proving us faithful. It has a way of saying to us that under pressure, we're either cowards as a nation or we're conquerors in order to make life better for all. More importantly, when we think about pressure upon a nation, we that emerge from this can either do better or we can do worse. We can grow accustomed to fear, or we can try to respond by finding solutions, by helping other people, or in going a direction that we might say we're on target to being a better people together. Our church, as we face this thing, we're under pressure. We're facing things that we've never had to deal with before, unable to enter into our sanctuary, and yet this does not prevent the Word of God from going forward and helping people in their lives. How will the church respond to pressure? Thank God Almighty that there is guidance from His Holy Word. First and foremost, this is not the first time that the church has been under pressure. And the second thing that we need to understand, that even when we are under pressure, it's not a thing that comes to show our strength, but it comes to reveal that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the last thing that we find about pressure is that it helps the body of believers to move to a new level of faith, to a new place in Christ, where we can learn that even under pressure, we as the people of God can move forward and do mighty things for God. Our scripture verse describes the time of the early church, where the church was at Jerusalem, and they'd now come under what we call religious persecution. But we've got to be mindful that even under the persecution or pressures, God has a plan that will not fail. Jerusalem was the birthplace of the church, and the church had grown accustomed to being there. It had record numbers of attendance, and they had set up an order of worship. They were really comfortable in that, but many of the disciples were not really paying attention to the Lord's plan to send them out from Jerusalem into the other places and even to the uttermost part of the earth. Before Jesus left in Acts 1 and 8, he said these words, "And you will be my witnesses, and you will start here in Jerusalem, then you will go into Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, the church had been at Jerusalem for about a decade, and they had not gone outside of that area because they were accustomed to that. But then came the pressure. And you and I might say, well, the pressure's on. How are we going to do this? How are we going to respond to the pressure being on in our lives? How do we respond to this threat of this virus? Well, in Ephesians 6 and 10, we don't respond by our own strength and our own ability. We must discover how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We got to put on the whole armor of God. We've got to make sure that we're protected. We talk about personal protective equipment or PPE. Well, ours is the Word of God. Ours is the armor of God that we clothe ourselves in, and that's how we face the pressure of this world. This is not the first time that the Church of the Living God has been under pressure. The Bible talks about individual believers going through those pressure moments. Joseph was one in the Old Testament. He had pressure upon him, sold as a slave into Egypt. But he didn't allow the pressure to cause him to lose his identity nor his anointing that God had placed on his life. And you as a believer, you've got to understand that the anointing of God does not diminish in times of pressure. As a matter of fact, Joseph went on to depend on God and to rely on God's strength to make him strong, to the point where he became a ruler in Egypt. That same thing can happen for you and I as we don't yield to the pressure, but we take the pressure and we become what God would have us to be. The Bible talks about a man by the name of David who had to face a giant. I call that a pressure moment. I'd call that a time where you've got to now realize that I've got to depend on the Lord to lead me through this and to guide me unto victory. Well, he faced the giant Goliath in the valley of Elah, and the Bible said that not only was he able to defeat the giant, they were able to defeat that army of the Philistines that had come against the people of God. Jesus was even under pressure. He faced the pressure of temptation. You and I are going to have to face pressure as a church. We're going to have to face pressure as we go through these things. And we're told that Jesus overcame. He was able to overcome the devil using the Word of God. Every time the devil would come to him and say, well, why don't you do this? Jesus would say, it is written. You and I have the mighty Word of God to help us through these times as we are under pressure. This pressure came on the church. They had grown comfortable in Jerusalem, but now God wanted them to move out of Jerusalem into Judea and into Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. He wanted them to fulfill the Word of God. And so what was happening, the pressure was causing them to be scattered. I'm going to share four principles with you as we prepare to close this message. But as we think about pressure, the scientists and the technologists that work with metal or metallurgists, it tells us that they can produce different kinds of metals by putting them under pressure. For example, if we think about stainless steel and how it's created, well, it takes three elements to make that stainless steel. It takes iron ore, it takes coal, and it takes limestone. But what has to happen, these elements have to be crushed. They have to be put into small particles, and then they have to be heated up together in order for them to make stainless steel. Thousands of degrees Fahrenheit, these metals are heated. These elements are heated until finally they're poured out. But as they're poured out, they go into another oven where they're heated again even more and for a longer period of time in order to produce stainless steel. That's how you produce steel. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, we can't stay at ease in Zion. We can't just assume that we can say, praise the Lord, and everything is going to be all right. We're going to be under pressure. And when we are under pressure, it doesn't reveal our strength. It reveals the very power of God Almighty. And as we depend on God's power, He's able to give us victory. He's able to move us forward. We're able to do amazing things because God is an awesome God. So how do you respond? How does the church respond under pressure? May I say to you that the coronavirus gives us an opportunity that not only can we go out and be scattered everywhere, but we can spread this thing like a virus, because the Word of God, it is contagious. It is something that we can spread. And I look at it this way. If the virus can spread, God's people can spread. If the bad news or the gossip can spread, then the gospel can spread. If bad things can happen in the world, why can't good things happen in the world through the people of God? It all depends on how we respond under pressure. Now, I know many of you are saying, well, we've got this mandate, and we've got to make sure that we're staying indoors, that we are using precaution. But did you not know that at your fingertips, through your iPhone, through your electronic devices, you can now reach a world that is dying for some good news? They're getting so much bad news. They're getting so much propaganda. They're getting so much misinformation. They need some good information from God Almighty. They need to know that the Lord is still God over this earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God did not relinquish his authority when this virus came. As a matter of fact, he's going to use this to show us, his people, that he's got everything under control. So as this happens, as this takes place, we as the church of God, we're being heated up. We're in an oven now. And God is going to stir us up, that he might stir up the gift of God that is within us and the anointing of God that is on our lives. Well, let's look at these things that we need to do. If we're going to respond under pressure, here's some things that we've got to think about as we go through life. And as these disciples went through this time of persecution, the first thing that we find out about them is that they were all driven out. They were all driven out. In other words, they maintained community. They did not, didn't stop, or the persecution that was happening to them didn't cause them to forget who they were. A lot of people are forgetting who they are. You're forgetting that you're a child of God. You're forgetting that you're born again. You're forgetting that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You're forgetting that you're a community of believers. And as a community of believers, we love one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. Now is not the time that we ought to be scattered from one another, but we ought to be scattered together. We can use this time to now send us out the way God wants us to be, his witnesses, that we might share his word. The Bible says, at that time, there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now, wasn't that their next move? Didn't God say to them, that's going to be your next move? That's where I want you to go? We have been comfortable in our closed doors, in our air condition, in our sound equipment, in all of these comforts that we have. We've grown so comfortable with these things that now God is saying, I'm going to close your doors for a little while, and I want you to go out and be my witness. I want you to take it outside. I want you to go out to a world that is hungry and starving. I want you to be the people of God in the midst of this crisis. So we identify ourselves as a community of believers. We identify ourselves as those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. But not only do we identify as a community, we stay committed as believers. We're committed to God because guess what? God is committed to us. And it says, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now the thing that you need to note with this, even though they were scattered abroad, that didn't mean that God had left them. In Matthew 28, Jesus made a great promise to us. He says, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, how long is that? That's forever, ladies and gentlemen, because when the end of the age comes, guess what? We're going to march on into eternity, and we will be with God forevermore. We will be with him. And the fact is, we're committed to him. We're committed to him because he's committed to us. We love him because he loves us. When you're committed to something, that doesn't mean that you're going to abandon it. Now, I want to say this word to those of you that may be what we call church hoppers, going from this church to the other. And now you're saying, well, during this crisis, I'm just going to leave my church. Please stay with your church. Reason why, you're never going to find a church that's perfect. You're never going to find a church where everybody's doing everything the way they ought to. Every church has some flaws. Stay with your church. Stay with the place where God has planted you. How do you know that that's where God wants you to witness? But now that we are not inside these doors, that doesn't mean that we can cease being a church. As a matter of fact, we can let the world know that we've been planted in Jesus and we're growing up in the Spirit. That's how you can face this, because you're staying committed. You're staying committed. There were opportunities for Jesus just to throw up his hands and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. There were opportunities for our Lord to do all of these things. But you know what? His love, his great love for you and I caused him to face every temptation, every trial, even to the cross, even to the abandonment of his disciples. Jesus faced all of those things because he was committed in love to you and I. You and I, we can be committed to God, and we can be committed to one another. So not only are we a community, and not only are we committed, but then we're courageous. Verse 4 of Acts 8 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, doing what? Preaching the word. Now, why were they preaching the word? That was the very thing that got them in trouble, but that's what the one thing that God told them to do. You, wherever you go, share the word of God. Share what God has done for you. And I want to ask you a question. Has God done anything in your life? And if God has done anything in your life, you have a testimony, you have a word inside of you that you can now say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Some of you can say, as the old folks said, he picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. You have a testimony, and that testimony needs to go out so that someone else can hear and someone else can heed the word of God. Do you remember when you were in darkness? Do you remember when you felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulder? Do you remember when you were lost and God took you in? As they went out, as this church of the living God went out, they saw people worshiping idols. They said, wait a minute, those idols can't answer them, but I know who can. They saw people in trouble and calling upon gods that could not move, that could not breathe. And they said, wait a minute, you're calling on a God that can't answer you, but let me refer you to the living God. They went everywhere. The Bible said they went everywhere preaching the word. Why? Because they were courageous. Now, this is the very thing that it caused Stephen to get stoned. He died preaching the word of God. Now, these same people who knew what happened to Stephen were now saying, we're going to use this as an opportunity to glorify God. We're not going to back down on what the Lord has told us to do. And so this brings us to the last thing. We need to be contagious. Did you not know that this virus is extremely contagious? They're advising you to not gather in groups of over 10. That's for a reason, because it's contagious. And then if you've got people over that certain number, that will cause it to be very difficult to determine, well, how many people did that person touch and how many people did that person touch? And so it becomes complicated when you try to solve the issue of where the virus is going. So that's why they want people to stay in. But the other thing is about it, you got to have on protective gear for this virus. Now, I want to tell you something about the word of God. It too can be spread. But instead of causing harm, it brings life. Instead of causing people to be in panic, it brings peace. If the virus can spread by its own power, then you know without a shadow of a doubt, we've got the power of Jesus on the inside of us, and we can spread this thing, we can share it, and it will bring light where there's darkness. And here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. If you and I, if any of you, and it doesn't matter whether you post this video, that doesn't matter, but if you will take the information, make a video for yourself, let people know, instead of fear, we got faith. Instead of the misunderstanding and the misinformation, we got the truth, and the truth has set us free. Instead of being in disarray, we can say that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I pray you'd spread it like the virus, but instead of bringing destruction, it is going to bring the peace of God into the hearts of people. So my word to you is to spread this thing, because it's contagious. When you spread it, somebody's going to hear it. When that gospel began to go out by these very ones who were being scattered, it left Jerusalem. And then it landed in Judea. And it left Judea and got into Samaria. When it got to Samaria, somebody else got it. And then Philip went from Samaria down to talk to somebody who was on his way back to Ethiopia. When the man from Ethiopia got it, he spread it to the queen of his country, and then she got it. And then it reached Ethiopia and spread into Egypt. Egypt got it. And then Paul was already on his way throughout Europe and preaching the word of God, proclaiming the word of truth. And then it got into Europe. And after it got into Europe, it crossed the sea, got into America. And when it got into America at Jamestown, even though everybody wasn't right, everybody wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing, but it was spreading. And as it spread, somewhere along the line, it got across the mountain and the hills into a little place called Evington, Virginia. And when it got into Evington, Virginia, it got into a little church called Crossroad. And when it got into Crossroad, the folks in Crossroad got it. Now the folks in Crossroad have been infected with the Word of God. But rather than infected, you've been injected with the Word of God. Rather than have something that is destructive, you've now got the cure. So what we want you to do is take the joy, take the peace, take the love of Christ and spread it. You got the gift of God. Now is our opportunity. Now is the time for us to demonstrate that we are believers in the Word of God. Now we must demonstrate our commitment to the Lord and that we are a community of believers. Now is the time for us to be courageous in Christ and to let people know that we love the Lord, for he heard our cry and pitied our every groan. God loves us. I want to close this message by sharing with you that this thing has caused us to be heated up. The same way that that iron ore and that limestone and that coal was poured in together into an oven. There were three Hebrew boys, amen, that believed in God and they were in the fiery furnace. And you know the story, how that the enemy king Nebuchadnezzar said, we got them now. We're going to cause them to deny the faith. But did you not know that in the middle of that furnace, it was not just their faith, but there was a fourth man. And may I tell you that while this virus is spreading, the gospel brings the Lord Jesus Christ himself into the lives of men and women as they believe on him. They can put their trust in him. Now, let me tell you what happened to the three Hebrew boys. We think that all they did was got out of the fire. No, but they got out of the fire with a fireproof testimony. And they were able to say, if God can bring you through the fire, if God can bring you through the storm, if God can keep you in times like this, he will keep you forever because he is the Lord. He is the Lord God Almighty. So my question to you as we close, how will you handle this pressure? How are you going to deal with it? You can either take it to the Lord and say, God, use this pressure to make me the person that I need to be in Christ. It does not matter whether you're rich or poor, whether you got a whole lot or just a little. They were all scattered. They were all scattered. And they all told of what God had done in their lives. Let me pray for you that God would do in your life what only he can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that these times have come upon us. They've not come to destroy us. They've not come to destroy the church because you said the church can't be destroyed. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we believe your word today. We know that everything's going to be all right. But while we're scattered, while we're in this disarray, as the enemy might call it, Lord, let us use this as an opportunity to share your word, to love somebody, to pray for people, to be of support to those that are in need. Lord, let us use this opportunity. And for those that are hurting, God, I pray you'd heal them right now. Deliver them and help them to understand that they're at a place now where they can call upon your name and they can be saved. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being with us. Forgive our sins, heal our land, but more importantly, bring us close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. We pray that this message would be an encouragement to you. How will you respond under pressure? God bless you.